What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
We are live, Patriot Power Hour! This is your February 11th, 2020 episode. Episode 83. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran here.
Future Dan joining him with brand new microphones in the studio.
Yes, sir.
Sounding twice as good as ever before.
At least. I rated our previous audio quality a 3.5. Now it's up to, I would say, a 7. We'll see how it truly sounds post-show. Have a couple more improvements to make, but brand new equipment and a little bit of soundproofing goes a long way. So hopefully all the listeners out there get a little bit of better experience as we go live.
And we're working on a method to monitor the chat on Prepper Broadcasting Network simultaneously. So we will be able to respond to that in real time. Our layout right now limits that because we're spending a lot of time looking at news too. So we got...
Exactly.
Future Danger heat map to be looking at for segment 2 and coming back to throughout the show. So dual monitors are in the future of Patriot Power Hour. Looking forward to it. But these mics are nice.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. We team effort here. I will tell folks it is harder to than you think to speak on air live and review and read articles and go into the chat room. But I'm really glad you brought that up. I am looking forward to... Essentially, we're going to set up another screen. So I think we're going to have 3 or 4 screens going at once, essentially. And be joining that chat room soon because guess what? I've gotten a couple emails this week from some folks in our chat room. And we're going to review some of those later on, including the contest winner. So
we're going to build out
PBN is awesome.
We're going to build out the Patriot Power Hour headquarters for Tuesday night shows this season, winter season 9.
Every week, get a little bit better. It's 1 week at a time. So it is February 11th, 8 p.m. Eastern. We got a lot to talk about, really. And last week's show was probably the most intense news blitz we've ever had in terms of volume. We're pretty much at that same level, except some of these articles are even worse. So I don't even know what we're going to do today. We almost got too much to talk about.
Some of it grew a little more dire since last week, and we're keeping track of the virus in China outbreak, and the death toll tonight is nearly 1,200, whereas a week ago it was low hundreds. And fascinating news on the cover-up. Last week we talked about how that story alone, pandemic in China, is touching so many other indicators.
Yeah.
Well, it's even further spread and embedding itself. If you can find linkages in several other indicators, it's a worldwide crisis right now.
Yeah, and like you said, we talked a little bit about this last episode. It's in the last couple of years is probably the one event that's been tracked on Future Danger, and Future Danger tracks tons of events and indicators. It's the one that's really cross-pollinated, or pun intended, gone viral. And we're seeing issues in the national security pop up. We're starting to see, and I believe we'll see a lot more in the economic. I mean, shutting down an entire country for this long, and it's not even over yet.
It's going to have effect.
Massive effect, and that's going to send ripples throughout the global economy.
So we just don't know what it is
tonight. All over the place. And really, the implications of freedom, not that China was ever free, right? But what we've seen, and we're going to cover it a lot in the News Blitz as well, just the forced, not just quarantine, but removal and enforcement of curfew, et cetera, just really trampled on any quote-unquote rights they thought they had there.
We're not quite sure how bad it's gotten in those respects, because the censorship lockdown is severe. This is the largest
First Amendment equivalent there, definitely not in place.
Largest quarantine in human history, probably the largest surveillance oversight by government in history, the greatest news censorship within that country, at least, in history. It's historical this week, and it's abroad, right? Right now, it's not the United States of America, but there are infections here, no confirmed deaths. That's where we are in episode 83. What are we talking about episode 84, 5, 6, episode 87 in March, right? This could get bad.
Absolutely. And even if it was cured overnight, as I said, the ramifications would be... those would be worth noting and discussing just by themselves. But it is so far from being over with. And as you said, we know so little what's really going on. It might be a lot worse than I'm putting on right here, to be honest.
Right. So we got a major indicator pestilence befalls. We're going to hit all those headlines in the second segment. And whichever ones really stick with us, we'll talk about the second half of this show. But tonight is the New Hampshire primary. A week ago, we had the Iowa primary where no winner was announced on the night we aired the show. And tonight's New Hampshire primary, Sanders is liable to win it. And socialists and fools, or both, are showing up in New Hampshire to bring that guy forward as the other party's nominee. We got that news to cover.
Yep, and we don't get too deep into politics, but I agree. Hey, New Hampshire primary is a big time, just like Iowa caucus. And even though I've essentially given up on electing our way out of this trouble, it is still very important news. And we do cover that topic, obviously, here at Patriot Power Hour. So we'll get into that. I think Bernie is the fan favorite, but I really don't think the establishment's going to let him get through. So we'll see.
Right. So watching those primary elections, and detecting the amount of fraud and corruption that is possible is sort of important to watch, regardless of your political orientation.
Yep.
Because if it's corrupt and somebody like him, a socialist, actually wins and gets denied it because his party compatriots believe that he can't win in the general election, that's really no good for our for our system of government.
Exactly. That's a good way to look at it. Don't look at these individuals or even the issues they're talking about. Think about it more like the systemic damage being
systemic
done.
Systemic precedents, right?
Yep.
They seem to always be in a uniform march down from what they might later call a high republic in previous centuries, right? Because things that we hadn't imagined earlier in my lifetime seem to be regular occurrences.
Well, I feel the same way, and as we all know, I'm a little bit younger than you, but not by that much. And I, just in my short life, relatively speaking, it's been a big difference. Just in the last 10 years, I've noticed. I don't know if it's partially me waking up a little bit more, paying more attention, but I think there is some reality to it as well.
So since last show, Trump's impeachment was an acquittal. And he's facing no opponents in the primaries. He's going to be the party nominee, which is typical for any party's elected president going into his second presidential run. And lots of features of the economy are pretty strong. Now, you might say it's patching over the debt and it's temporary. But nevertheless, from a voting populace, things are good. Record unemployment is a real thing, and growth is a real thing. So this field of Democratic candidates, in comparison, is somewhat dismal. And probably Trump seems transcendent right now. He's bigger than either party, and there's a lot of popular appeal there. Non-partisan, but popular appeal towards him. And if you think in terms of each presidency, I'm gonna embody it in a metaphor. If each presidency is a bird flying, whatever type, right? The American Eagle, if you will. And that's the president flying our nation during that time. In 2016, Trump grew and then flew a bird. And that bird started as an egg coming down the escalator. Well, the second bird is the second presidency. That egg's right now big and it's healthy and it's incubating. And yes. Come next November, it's liable to be born. It's pretty apparent to the entire world. He's got a pretty good chance of being reelected. That bird's going to be born. What takes out birds in the nest, typically in this world? If you're from northern climates, maybe this doesn't make immediate sense to you, but the major predator of eggs, they're snakes. And I've said it before, Trump is liable to be hoovered by, you know, made another Hubert Hoover that was brought down by the 29 crash. And if the only way, now the impeachment is over, now that the Mueller investigation is proved void of any wrongdoing, now that, you know, the exposure of the Department of Justice deep state in the FISA corruption is well understood in the public, what do they got left? Something economic? Or is this virus coming out of China part of that? If there is a globalist elite that brings down economies to change outcomes in the Western democracies, as widely believed after the 2008 crisis, now is the time for patriots to watch from now until November, when it might be too late to the egg will hatch. But those snakes are out there. Some of them are natural. Some of them are definitely the globalist scum New World Order we've talked about. Which ones do you see coming? We're going to get into that and more throughout this episode. But your first take on my metaphor of the egg and snakes in 2020.
A lot of threats out there, absolutely. I guess the question is, will those that supported Trump in the past turn on him? Either by just not turning out or by literally changing their mind? If not, he's got a clean sweep, I think. And I don't feel like people that supported him in the past have fallen off. Definitely not in huge numbers.
So we're talking severe. It has to be severe.
Exactly. And that's where I wanted to go, was with my own analogy with a little mixed martial arts UFC. You know, we just got through the fourth round of a 5-round championship. And we're going into that fifth round. And that's election season. That's championship rounds, right? And guess what? The Democrats are down 4-0, in my opinion. Maybe 3-1, but probably 4-0 in the cards. So they need a knockout or they need a submission, right? They need that big, big event, and they need it quickly. Whether that's economic collapse, getting hoovered, whether that's a major outbreak, whether it's something else we're not even thinking of right now.
Provoking a war.
Exactly. Well, I think war is potentially the most likely, and they, you know, show... attempt to portray Trump as...
major Middle East war.
Exactly. Show him as a hothead and dangerous and going to kill, you know, start the draft again and scare people. But you're gonna need a knockout punch. I think he's definitely the odds-on favorite to win right now.
Are we looking 5 years of relative to the previous administration, what could easily be the next administration? A respite. Are we looking at a five-year respite where future danger is a little bit further away and Patriots are going to see a little bit of a golden era where we're going to look back and be glad of the Trump years?
Hey, we already got further than I thought we would, so we're already in that golden age compared to the pessimist that I am. We'll find out. We'll find out, I suppose. We'll be here on the Patriot Power Hour covering it each and every week, each and every Tuesday, live at 8 p.m. Going to break. Stick with us, though. We're coming back with that Future Danger News Blitz. Follow along at futuredanger.com. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, Our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
I expect that any constitutional document that emerges from Philadelphia will be as compromised as our Declaration of Independence. I am increasingly persuaded that the earth belongs exclusively to the living, and that one generation has no more right to bind another to its laws and judgments than one independent nation has the right to command another.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
We are back, episode 83 of the Patriot Power Hour, February 11th, 2020. Here is your heat map dashboard update. Column 1. News censorship out of China is severe. Coronavirus narrative. It's a world war narrative. Chinese communist epidemic fighting policy is to report politically adjusted outbreak model. There's a link here showing you how they are rigging what should be exponential growth in all known epidemics, but reporting numbers on a much flatter curve. It's mathematically impossible for epidemics to behave this way, yet Chinese authorities are releasing a shallower curve to tamper public panic. That's the communist censorship ongoing. And the U.S. and worldwide authorities parrot the numbers. Privacy annihilated. More than a dozen Minnesota police departments now have partnered with front door camera maker Ring. Wi-Fi technology is being developed to scan buildings for firearms. That's coming out. It'll be rolled out for federal buildings, for airports, for schools. Then mobile vans that park on either side of your house and know exactly what's inside of it. Judicial system direly distrusted. We have a congressman. He is saying classified information shows FBI officials ought to go to jail over surveillance of President's 2016 campaign. Will that ever come out? Will we ever have that catharsis on the Russiagate hoax and FBI misdeeds? Or does that linger as a cancer in our judicial system into the next presidency? Sales restrictions designed to disarm. Being passed out of Virginia, modern semi-automatic firearms, a.k.a. the AR-15, modern semi-automatic firearm, the AR-15. They're going to ban sales in Virginia. That's coming out of a House committee if it passes both houses and gets signed by the governor. Still, remarkably slow Second Amendment, anti-Second Amendment legislation coming out. What is it now? 3 weeks after the Intrepid Commander reported live from Richmond So perhaps that did have an effect. Nevertheless, the keeping and bearing of arms is constantly infringed across the country. This week, Illinois State Police delaying applications for what they have in that state known as firearm owner identification cards. Got to have the card to even have a gun in Illinois. And you if you have it removed, and then your court records are later exonerate you, getting it back is not a priority of Illinois State Police. People are suing for being denied their Second Amendment, exercising of their Second Amendment in Illinois for years. Articles up in column one. New Mexico Senate endorses a bill to allow police to petition courts to order warrantless confiscation of firearms. That is what a red flag law is. We carry this under Constitution blatantly abused because the Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendments are simultaneously relegated to the dustbin of history by such red flag laws. Michigan County is now being sued for stealing cars from innocent car owners via civil forfeiture. That's Fifth Amendment news. Column two, international and national security. All kinds of diverse topics this week, Ben. FBI investigating more than 1,000 cases of Chinese government theft of American technology. Ask yourself, why is that news article coming to the Wall Street Journal from internal sources inside the government at this point in time? U.S. officials in the intelligence side, purportedly, anonymously, have reported also to the Wall Street Journal that Chinese multinational tech company Huawei can covertly access telecom networks, the whole 5G espionage, surveillance aspect of new Chinese technology being rolled out worldwide. That is clearly falling into the realm of espionage, and these anti-Chinese reports are coming out simultaneous to the coronavirus. Chinese civil unrest spreads. More than 400 million are now quarantined in China. China is struggling to mute online outrage over the coronavirus whistleblower's death, a doctor who first reported this in December. China has now videos coming out of Chinese authorities dragging victims, kicking and screaming into state pens, being treated like livestock. All right, we got videos up on Future Danger of people being pulled out of their houses. Coronavirus whistleblower doctor's death poses the greatest internal threat to Chinese authorities in years. One article in The Indicator. Good reading. You got to understand this. So much is at stake if that government comes apart at the seams. Beijing is now hunting down Chinese citizens, challenging the official narrative of what has been renamed COVID-19. In Bioweapons Indicator, right below it, scant evidence that this is in fact a bioweapon employed. However, we have the White House asking scientists to investigate if coronavirus was bioengineered. And if it can be bioengineered, it could be clearly linked to weapons development. Russian media is putting out news that the U.S. has created a ethnic bioweapon attacking China. And a senator demands Beijing prove that COVID-19 is not a bioweapon. That's today, Senator Tom Cotton. So we have U.S. senators now openly talking about a bioweapon in China. This is not a conspiracy theory to be banned to the nether regions of the internet. It's senators talking about it. Federal government is turning 11 military bases inside the United States into quarantine camps. The chief of space operations, a brand new four-star created with the new U.S. Space Command, he's now the lead, so chief of space operations. He is saying that a Russian satellite or spacecraft is now tailing an American satellite. We recovered that last week. These things are in near simultaneous orbit, and what becomes of it, who knows? In Eastern Europe, 20,000 U.S. troops are deploying in the biggest show of force since the Cold War. If you don't know, Ben, during the Cold War, we had reforger exercises where the U.S. Army and the Navy and the Air Force would rehearse bringing tens of thousands of U.S. troops, combat brigades, immediately across the Atlantic in the event of a Soviet invasion of the West. This is the biggest one of those exercises since the fall of the Soviet Union. Huh. So essentially, it's the biggest American military presence that's been pushed and shown to be able to project since the early 90s. Russia is caught jamming GPS systems of U.S. stealth fighters in the Middle East as well, all under, at a very low level, the concept of war with Russia starting. War with China starting is another concept. Why is Chinese military idle as the coronavirus spreads? Big question, a strategic question. We do not see the military response inside of China right now that one would think we did have. Is that military unstable? Is it poised and ready to do an attack on a neighbor or make a statement by striking American assets and personnel and weapons in the Western Pacific? One thing we know is they are not on the streets in China putting an end to this coronavirus or leaving it to state security police. Secret Cambodian base under construction by Chinese military was also reported this week. They send contracting companies to build airfields and casinos in tropical regions of countries like Cambodia. However, this one has neat little features that you would normally see in a base that can launch fighter jets really fast.
It sounds like something out of James Bond.
Yeah. Plenty more of low-level Column 1 news.
Wow,
from exercises escalating to coronavirus tests in China, in Korea now, North Korea, and the U.S. testing a global global strike command, the U.S.'s command for nuclear weapons, test firing a Minuteman. Read all those and more in Column 2 of FutureDanger.com. Here are your coronavirus headlines for the past 5 days on February 11th, 2020. On Friday, 724 dead, 34,500 cases. In the coronavirus had 12 suspected cases in the United States before the weekend. Super spreaders with misleading symptoms have been proven now to infect huge numbers of others in Chinese hospitals. Super spreaders is the term. On Saturday, we passed 800. Now it killed, on the same day, it killed 89 in Wuhan, the center of the virus. On Sunday, we passed 900 with 40,000 confirmed cases. On Monday, we passed 1,000 as the Chinese quarantines accelerated. Hubei province reports 103 deaths on Monday, most in a single day. North Korea is reported concealing a massive outbreak. Officials in that communist regime are quickly disposing of bodies, it is reported. Sudden rise in sulfur dioxide levels suggests huge cremation surge in China. Check out windy.com. We have the link on Future Danger. You got to understand what sulfur dioxide is. It is the released chemicals that for many things indicate many things, but it predominantly could indicate the burning of biomass. And China is red hot on this world map. These are live atmospheric statistics plotted on windy.com. Go to Future Danger. We got the link. And the lat long is programmed so you can exactly see what we're talking about. Massive, dark, burning areas over China. Could be massive amounts of human remains or the biomedical waste.
Well, there we go. We're going to break. We will be back. We still got about half of the Chinese coronavirus to cover.
Let me finish up
the economics.
Let me finish up. We got a few shortly before our music cuts.
All right, get as many out as you can.
The mysterious origin of Wuhan coronavirus. China refusing to release animal sampling testing data. The coronavirus has rarely leaped from animals to humans with high transmissibility. Wild animal market was closed in Wuhan. It was cleaned. There's no evidence. Was the outbreak due to a leak or mishandling of lab animals used in the coronavirus studies? That's another article. Was the lab leaking it? Was a bioweapon employed? Or is this just a natural plague? Either way, it's wreaking havoc in the world's most populous nation, a nuclear-armed economic and military near peer of the United States.
Absolutely. And they are not really pulling any punches from everything you read right there. It's red alert over there, and they're not faking it. Yeah, maybe they're using this as an extra way to get some control, but it's a real situation. All right, folks. Coming back with the second half of the Patriot Power Hour. Stick with us.
To help those willing and wanting, but unable to help themselves, we are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Follow Hollow socks are constructed from 80% baby alpaca fiber, 15% nylon, and 5% spandex. The alpaca fiber is sourced from Peru, but the socks themselves are manufactured in North Carolina. What's unique about alpaca fibers is due to the hollow nature of the fibers. It does a fantastic job at moisture wicking. Other benefits to alpaca fibers are that it's hypoallergenic and it's naturally non-itchy. Visit Prepper Broadcasting Network for a coupon code. Another great prep at a great price from PBN.
Do you intend to ship out the entire French population of the United States? Along with any other luckless soul who happens to voice a contrary opinion?
Well, if that contrary opinion threatens to divide the nation at a time when we must stand united, then yes, I will do just that. I'm entrusted with the nation's safety, Thomas. So these war measures will protect us from insurrection and subversion.
There is no war.
And that is the principle behind these measures, the prevention of war.
Cannot protect the nation by attacking the right of every man to speak freely without fear. You're trampling on the Constitution.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We're back. We are still live. Ben the Breaker of Banksters here with my buddy and co-host, Future Dan at FutureDanger.com. We're still at FutureDanger.com doing the heat map. And during the break, I had to tell Future Dan that this is 2 weeks in a row of essentially all-time high level of news. Is this just a coincidence? Is he really digging deep for articles, or is there truly, you know, a statistically significant uptick? I think it's the latter. It might be a little bit of all, but it's definitely the latter. There's a lot of legitimate stuff going on. Of course, coronavirus is a big part of it, but there's a lot of other stuff going on too.
Yeah, why don't you finish up column three? You had to last weekend. I'm kind of worn out. I spoke a whole segment on the show.
All right, for sure. So, and listen, folks. I know I sound like kind of a broken record repeating the same stuff, but we're going to talk again about extreme after-hours repos reported.
They don't stop. 68, 72, 83, 49, billion, every so few days. They don't stop.
So we got the latest. Fed injects $68 billion in liquidity as the third oversubscribed term repo. Oversubscribed means if there was more, folks would have taken more. And it's not advantageous for them to take this unless they need it. It's not like everybody wants this. There's cheaper, better ways to get it than this. And that means this is kind of like a loan shark almost.
A little bit desperate.
Yeah. It's not loan shark, but it's pretty close.
This is the nearest, meanest snake to Trump's egg.
Well, he encourages this, certainly. And we could go deep into why.
Might be playing with fire.
It's playing with fire, for sure. But I feel, you know, in some regard, the Fed and the national debt, et cetera, so far down the road, he may as well push as hard as he can, because it's going to all blow up anyway.
That's probably what he's thinking.
That's the only 3D chess going on there, if that's going on. Next article, federal government defaults. This is low level, though. If you haven't been to Future Danger, I definitely encourage you to check it out. You'll notice not only the columns, but the separate indicators and the different beautiful colors. Kind of this greenish, is that olive drab maybe? An olive-ish? It's kind of olive. It's the lowest level for all intents and purposes. So this is a piece of topical news, but not, you know, SHTF. Federal government defaults. The Federal Reserve Chairman issues stark warning to Congress on deficits. Oh, now you're taking credit for that. Okay. Where were you 10 years ago? Federal government debt to GDP ratio, which is a pretty still fairly new indicator that was added to Future Danger pretty cool feature. This is one of the different economic gauges that was added. When was that? Maybe in Q3 last year?
Last season.
Q4? Okay, so end of 2019. We're just nearly on the red zone, which is bad in this case. Federal government debt to GDP, 96%. I think that's a whitewash number, but hey, anything close to 100 and beyond, big trouble. We're definitely on the path to that. It's the question is, can we outgrow that in the long term? I don't think so. Won't go down that route right now, though. Don't worry. Listen to this show long enough, you'll hear me talk about items like that. I want to keep going and finish these articles, though. Economic news dreadfully disappoints. The Fed says the coronavirus poses a, quote, new risk to American economy. American household debt soars most since the 2008 crisis in the last quarter of 2019.
That's news today.
So, brand new today, American household debt.
It's the most.
And guess what? The rule of thumb when I was getting my degrees in economics and finance, the rule of thumb was about 70% of GDP is consumer spending. Household debt is highly negatively correlated. Okay, so this American household debt is going up huge, consumption is going down. That's a headwind. That's not helping. But it's not the end of all things.
Low-level bad economic news.
If Trump can pass another big tax cut that actually helps households, maybe he can totally reverse that. But still waiting for mine. I haven't gotten a huge cutback, I'll tell you that. But, again, I'm pontificating. This is why I'm so bad at the heat map. Let's keep rolling, though. Stock market crashes. Red flags emerge in stocks with insiders rushing to sell. Sven Heinrich, the crash party.
Yeah, he's got good. It's an essay. It's not really news.
Republicans in charge for over 2 years in the Senate and in the presidency have been linked and were in office during the big drops in 1907, 1929, 1987, 2000, and 2008. Those are all true.
Pretty interesting analysis there.
Is it a random? If you flip a coin, will you get tails four times in a row? It's possible, but really unlikely to be just that type of random chance.
And that right there, if you're really conspiratorially minded, you think that among the two parties, the one that was for the most freedom generally has been the Republican Party in the last 120 years, right? A lot of people believe this, and unless you like do a Marxist redefinition of what freedom is. So how come when they get in charge of the government for two or more years in the presidency and the more important house and the popularly elected legislature, do we get these massive drops? Is it because they are overstimulating an economy that in theory should be able to take freedom but just can't because it's just naturally so crooked? Or is it because wicked New World Order globalist forces, or it's purported so, are bringing about collapses on the party, one party and not the other?
I think it's multifaceted. I think that might be part of it. There's the rich billionaire banksters that are Republicans, but a good majority are certainly left-leaning, even going back to the 1900s with Rockefeller and friends. They weren't, staunch conservatives by any means.
No, it's Fabian society. It's absolutely. It's gradualist. It's gradualist Marxism.
One thing I think is important to remember is the president, at whatever party, whatever issue, a lot of the times what they're dealing with is not even of their own making. So maybe it was the regime or two behind these that caused this. And I could see, for example, all the easy money and overinvestment in, especially in the internet and the overhype during Clinton. That was a big part of it.
Why are the Republicans the crash party? Why is the music always run out on them? Hey, think about it. It happened right at the end of George W. Bush, and he was helpless to do anything but just accept TARP, accept the bailouts, accept all the emergency quantitative easing. It just happened right at the end of his presidency.
Hey, don't do conspiracies around here. We try to do trends and analysis. So we'll leave that
trends and analysis is the new
code beyond belief.
Yeah. And debt still being
massively monetized. Debt massively monetized. We've seen a huge uptick, especially in the Fed's balance sheet. And we've been covering this, again, ad nauseum since September.
It's intimately linked with the after-hours repos. Like, those repos are this.
Exactly. Right. This is aggregate repos over time.
So just to be clear for listeners, after-hour repos, if they're extreme, mean you're getting a little bit closer to crisis. But at a low level, they're doing 49-day repos and these odd multi-week repos.
That's a good thing.
That aren't as severe, but it's still quantitative easing. It's still printing money, by any other words. It's still a helicopter flying over a crowd and dumping pallets of cash to inject an economy that didn't have pallets of cash.
But the only crowd is the primary dealers, which we've covered. But I think it's worth, I don't know if we've covered that on Prepper Broadcast Networks. So what are the primary dealers? Simply put, they are the mega banks that have access to the Fed's money and Fed's entire discount window.
Snap their fingers and money exists for you window.
Yes. So these are your normal banksters such as JP Morgan, Citibank, Bank of America, but there's lots of investment banks as well.
Foreign-owned banks.
You can have some foreign, like the U.S. subsidiaries of foreign banks as well.
Foreign-owned banks.
European and Japanese and Canadian.
Not Chinese.
Canucks. No.
Chinese aren't in on that.
Yeah, right. Because they want to make their own competing and quote-unquote superior system. Good luck with that. That'll be the real start of World War III. But anyway, I wanted to go into, and this is an awesome feature, of future danger. So the primary dealers are the only ones able to get this helicopter money. They're not cutting checks to you and I. I would be against that type of socialism in the first place, but they're already taking so much from us in taxes. But point is, I want to focus on extreme after-hours repos reported. Two aspects to it. I want to read the description. And this is a great example on future danger, how all these indicators have descriptions and a long history or archive. So what do we mean by extreme after-hours repos reported? This means massive financial-related repos are occurring during overnight hours or weekends. As you noted, a lot of these are multi-day, multi-week, but the majority, especially what we report on, are overnight, which is that emergency liquidity. It is a form of short-term borrowing for dealers, i.e. primary dealers, in government securities. So this is the government securities. This is supposed to be the U.S. Treasury, supposed to be public and serve the people, overnight shady dealings with the banksters. Does this make more sense, folks? Let me quickly go through this. The dealer sells the government securities to investors, usually on an overnight basis, and buys them back the following day. For the party selling the security and agreeing to repurchase it in the future, it is a repo. For the other party or the party on the other end of the transaction, who is buying the security and agreeing to sell it in the future, it's reverse repo or reverse repurchase agreement. Usually raised in short-term capital, especially if it's time to pay the piper and you're in a short squeeze, you need to raise some cash. You might have trillions and trillions in assets, but you need cash. You need liquidity. So there really is a market for this, but that market is gone. I mean, the bank, the primary dealers and other banks and institutions are supposed to lend to one another with a, supply and demand and legit regulated rules. But they totally jumped the shark on this because this interest rate is supposed to be slightly higher than the interest rate the Fed has. So when they say, the Fed raised rates by a quarter point, it's now 2.5%. This, in a normally functioning market, maybe it'd be 3% for an overnight repo. A little higher than 2.5%.
And eventually these banks wouldn't be able to pay it, and the natural course of free enterprise would take its course, and they
go bankrupt.
They fail.
And then they could reorganize assets in an efficient manner. But we're so far away from that.
Banksters have figured out a way to link everything so tightly together that if one goes, they all go, and that means none of them can go.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it. And what happened was this isn't the first time this sort of quote-unquote stimulus, but really manipulation of the markets occurred. But in September 2019, instead of being 3.5% interest rate, the market broke. And it went to 7%, 8%, 10% because these banks didn't trust each other. So they were not, essentially what happened, the Fed had to come in and fix it, otherwise there would have been a massive liquidity crunch.
Well, you know, this is the closest snake on the economic column to snuffing out a second Trump presidency. And it still may be too late for it, so you might suffer 4 years of a Trump powerless to change the after effects of a massive collapse, a banking system breakdown, banks simultaneously collapsing. Will any of that happen? Probably not. But this news is unique, and we've seen it all fall, and it has to be paid attention to. Hopefully it dissipates. Hopefully it goes away.
We'll find out. I feel like there's so much pressure on the camel's back and kind of, you know, there's so many different analogies, so we won't even go down that route. But really, it's like, how much snow can there be piled up until the avalanche? You know, another snowflake, another pound, another ton of snow on that mountain. How much more can it take? That snow's not melting off or going away anytime soon. So
as someone mathematically inclined, there is an article here from Epsilon Theory. I read the headlines earlier, but I want to get into this.
Okay.
And sometimes we talk about slightly advanced mathematic principles. If it goes over your head real fast, we're going to try to just break it down for you, make it really simple. But I said earlier that all academics, according to this article, all epidemics take the form of an exponential function. So if you know a graph, it's the number of deaths from coronavirus on the vertical, higher is bad, more deaths. And across the horizontal or the bottom of the graph is time from when it was detected to today. How are the deaths accumulating? And the entire point of this article, Ben, is how, although we know from all previous epidemics that it's exponential, it's part of the entire process of this thing, of one of these things, by definition, it's an epidemic growing out of control, and eventually the curve will level off. They'll plateau, and eventually all the measures necessary will take effect, but also all the people that were vulnerable to it have died.
It's like a wildfire. It just burns out of fuel.
It'll burn out of fuel, and it'll be contained, but it really does resemble firefighters on a side of a mountain in the U.S. West trying to put out a fire. At a certain point, when it's growing, it goes exponential. Now, a quadratic function is a different shape curve. It's flatter. It is not going through the roof. And it resembles many other phenomena in math and economics. And there's quadratic curves that things can be described as. When this thing gets started up, it moves on that kind of shallower curve, right? The government numbers coming out and being parroted by the CDC can actually be predicted now.
Really?
Yes. And on this site, I'm going to read some of these. On February 5th, 489. February 6th, 561. On the 7th, 690.39. On the 8th, 721. On the 9th, 808. 10th, 900. 11th, today. If it was quadratic, they should have been reporting 997. However, it's spiking exponentially in the last few days. The curve is sharpening and it's going up. But for about 5 days, they were reporting numbers on a quadratic curve. Purely a politically driven, near impossible to not. You know, there hasn't been a drop day today. These deaths are, the amount of deaths that in total are climbing on some kind of curve. But the Chinese authorities picked the curve they wanted to report because it would cause less panic and make it seem as though their control measures are actually in effect. This mathematically and scientifically shouldn't be happening. And today, on the 11th, this projection of 997... Well, we're at over 1,100 tonight. So maybe the lid is coming off of this, and the Chinese are not going to be able to do this. But it is and time will tell.
Right.
Whether indeed this epidemic was different than others, and it was only quadratic. It was bluffery and not as bad as we thought. Or perhaps The reality is there's tens of thousands that are being cremated now because of that quarantine and the lack of news coming out of it. And you have a massive loss of life on planet Earth between last week on Patriot Power Hour and tonight. And what are the historical effects, let alone the moral, just human, just sorrow that comes with that many people going to the grave that fast?
Well, they're experiencing it no matter what. We know it's a hellhole dystopia over there, even if it is, even if these numbers were true, which I don't believe them anyway. So, good point. I had not seen this. Very interesting.
But this sharp fellow at Epsilon Theory, shout out, all right, to this website. They identified this strange phenomenon that they're reporting a curve that doesn't actually exist in virology when epidemics hit.
And it is obviously an epidemic. I mean, they are outright admitting 50,000 plus have it and 1,100 deaths. I mean, take those verbatim, that's an epidemic. So that's not questionable. So very interesting. I'm, you know, big into data, statistics, and economics. Always use models and graphs. So very, I want to actually dig deeper into this and make some models myself. Not that difficult.
It's insane news.
Excel skills. I kind of want to project this out and see what it looks like next week.
And one of the most brazen news censorships ever, if the Chinese government actually picked a shallower curve and reported and just said, well, we're going to say 498 today and 561 tomorrow and 639 on the day after. That's kind of sick to even have figured out to report it that way. And it probably, how could it be accidental?
One death is a tragedy, 1,100 is the statistic, but that's a better statistic than 150,000.
And lying about the number at that scale and magnitude is tyranny.
Now, you got to remember, I mean, I don't want to like play guess the deaths, but what percentage of China could die from this and they'd be able to still maintain some level of propaganda about it? 2%? 3%? Even if only, quote-unquote, only 2% of China died, we're talking about, like, tens of millions.
Well, they did tens of millions in the Cultural Revolution.
Exactly. So would they, I mean, they don't want that to happen, I would presume, but what would they count as acceptable? And but more importantly, what can they keep together so the military doesn't turn on them, so that, you know, the state, there are police, you know, the state police that are keeping these quarantines, they might turn on the state themselves. There has got to be a breaking point.
Well, that government is under pressure right now, big time. And being what that government is on this planet, it is dangerous. And, you know, in the United States, we have dystopian kind of fiction about what post-apocalyptic United States would be like. Few survivors after a nuclear war or pandemic and all the genre that comes with that, right? That's not how post-apocalypse China is. It's just less people, but still a lot of them. There's still going to be a highly populated, dense country after this burns its course. That's not the problem. Does the government need to invade Taiwan to maintain popular support? And do they launch that? Do they project force and hit Guam, right? I mean, do they have to lash out just to maintain survival? When the Soviet Union faced really tough times and the wall started coming down, that communist regime collapsed. Will this one? Maybe not. And how bloody could it get? Meanwhile, we got to endure it from this side of the Pacific without bringing harm to our country.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't know. We got so much more to talk about, but unfortunately, we're pretty much out of time. I do have something we got to cover, though.
We got the winner.
Winner chicken dinner. V for victory for you Firestorm fans out there. Guess what? We got a winner in our first contest here on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Yes, I do give away things on the air. Your choice of cryptocurrency or one silver dollar, 1 ounce of 0.999 silver. And for privacy reasons, I'm not going to reveal his name right now. If next week he gives us permission, certainly will. But I already pulled that winner. His answer to the question, who is your favorite founding father?
Who was it?
George Washington.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And let me get the quote out real quick. First, talk about, I want you to, who was your favorite founding father while I pull this up?
Right. So in a previous Patriot correspondence, I went to task to answer that question for you. And my answer at the time was Samuel Adams.
Samuel Adams. Good old Samuel Adams. Not just because of the beer either, right?
Pretty much for the historical impact, yeah.
I know. So his answer, he was a he, so I gave that away, unfortunately. But I would have to say my favorite of the founding fathers was George Washington, because he held together the troops during our revolution. It was the worst times. Everyone wanted to quit, and we're no longer getting paid. If not for him, all would have been lost. We would be British, Japanese, or German today. And we know when Germany bombed Pearl Harbor, that was one of the worst days in history.
He wrote that?
That was my Animal House impression. No, he didn't say that.
He didn't write that.
But that was me ad-libbing. But I thought that was a great response. Thanks to everyone who entered. This gentleman is the winner, so I'm going to reach back out to him.
Send us your name. Get that address. Send us where to mail it.
Yeah, do you want 1 ounce of silver or... The equivalent in Bitcoin. And by the way, Bitcoin's at 10,300, up at least 600-700 since this time last week. 6 month high. Once it hits that $10,000 mark, that's big time psychological. Will it maintain? Will it drop? Hey, guess what? I did a big time daily audio cast just a couple days ago. Right now at this moment, $10,334. Just a couple days ago on Sunday, I did a daily audio cast a little bit about financial preparedness and Bitcoin. It's up a few hundred just since then. If you want to learn a little bit more, go check that out. That's one of my things. But I guess the question is, do you trust Bitcoin, or if you don't hold it, you don't own it? That's the question I pose to listeners.
Yeah, you can't hold it without the internet. So if they shut that off, it doesn't exist.
That's always been, in my opinion, the kryptonite. Not that I don't diversify.
But it would take something that severe. Unless they impose some kind of that. Probably what the quarantine in China is really doing is locking down all IP addresses so no news can escape. You really, when you log in, can only go to one internet site. And don't think that in order to censor, in order to survive a World War type scenario, that our authorities can't also do that here. I mean, it's implicit that you could control information if it was really being used to help you lose a war inside your own country. So that capability has to exist for a nation state. But short of that, there's no known way to undo it yet.
Nope, absolutely. So that does it for our great, great show, Patriot Power Hour, episode 83. We will be back next week. February 18th, live, as always, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, pray for the people in China, because it's not a good situation.
No, it's not.
And we're probably going to be talking about it 7 days from now.
We'll see if that quadratic equation continues. We'll be at more than 2,000 fatalities by then, by my calculations. So I want it to run out. I don't want them to all die and destabilize things, but we'll keep it going. Go check out the other shows here, though, on Prepper Broadcast Network. They get into some of how you can prepare you and your family. We're not the experts at that, but I listen intently to these shows.
We're preparing your information sphere.
Yes, absolutely. Information is power, folks. All right, we will be back next week. Live again, the Patriot Power Hour. Catch you later.
The six principles for disaster preparedness. Use them to build a base of preparedness that will keep your family safe in the face of the next disaster. Find them and more at PrepperBroadcasting.com.